Talk about brain death and organ transplantation, but there was a certain feeling that
maybe I should wait for Rabbi Apple to come back before I address that topic. So scrap that topic. Instead, I was going to as the title says, the most popular shiur. The title of this talk: the most popular shiur on the internet. Anyone know what is the most popular shiur on the internet? Anyone? Which? So I'm hoping it's going to be this. You know, because people will Google the most popular shiur on the internet and it'll come up this title. It should get a few million hits by the end of the week. But I want to talk about something else entirely.
That is, you may recall. You may recall the story, those who came to Poland, the story of Poland, which probably did not make the highlights. And I asked you guys to fill out these evaluation forms. Nobody listed this as a highlight, even though for me it may have been the most important story that was told in Poland. And it's a story about the Bach and his student. Anyone remember this story? I'll give you a hint where we told it. Then I Gabbah.
Never.
Gabbah and his student. I thought so. Underrated story, but maybe one of the most important teachings. The story, the kids are, I'm not going to go through the whole thing because it's mostly heard already. But the story is that Gabbah had a student who was a wealthy guy. And somebody came to the Bach and asked him to speak to his student to help him get a job. Because he had a particular profession that only this another person could really hire him. And he wanted his student, who was a wealthy guy, to speak to somebody else to help him in that position. He was out of work and he needed help. And the Bach gave him a letter to go to the student. The student receives this person and he says, "I'd love to help you. But I'm leaving tomorrow to the fair in Leipzig. I'll be back in 3 months, and then I'll speak to the guy." He goes, "No, you don't understand. I have wife and kids. You have no parnasa. You have to help me now." And he says, "I'd love to help you, but I can't help you right now. I gotta go." And sure enough, he goes. 3 months later, he comes back, immediately helps this guy, and the guy gets a job. He passes away. And he made a deal with the Bach that he's going to tell him what the life in the next world is like. And he comes to the Bach in a dream and he says, "Rebbe, you have to help me." They wake up all my mice and open and they said, "I'm going to shine." All of a sudden the sultan comes and goes, whoa, hold on here. Where is he going? He made this Jew wait for 3 months. He didn't have pranasa. He's made it for 3 months. He can't go in. And they said, "Rebbe, you're right. I can't go in." So here I am, I'm stuck between the two worlds, you have to help me. And whatever, the Bach said that maybe I'll tell the story over and this way it'll help you through this, so other people won't make the same mistake. That'll be a teacher, maybe you can get it. Ring a bell, anybody?
No.
Maybe if you tell the long version.
Yeah, tell the long version. Anyways, so that's the story. That's the story. Anyone bothered by this story? Besides the fact that, yeah.
He did something good.
Yeah, it's the big deal, man. Oh, he did, he was excited, he was proud of the Bach, all the good things he should have sure you know in, and then this one thing that makes the Jew wait, and that's it. Holy Association of Olam HaOlam. Every Jew has a place in the next world. What's the big deal here? Huh? So my friends, I think in this story, and you can, if you, Reb Shlomo's story is a common theme, but one of the common themes is this Nakuda here. Many stories. And I think it may be one of the most significant teachings that you'll hear this year. And that is, that the definition of a Jew in Israel, Kol Yisrael Yeshan Tel Mahava, is somebody who's willing to break out of his routine, stop whatever he's doing, to help another person or to do something for God. Seems like nothing. If you think about this deeply, you'll see that it's an unbelievable teaching. And it's maybe the most significant thing you're going to hear. To stop. I'm busy. No time to stop to say hello to my wife. I'm late. I'm running. I have to go. I'll help you. I gotta get to work. I'm meeting somebody. I gotta go. Now there's so many stories I can talk all day about from stories from Shlomo's, particularly this one in Buddha, which is often lost because there are other lessons that he has in the story as well, but this is a common theme in so many other stories. And it goes back to something you may have heard also in the beginning of the year. And that is a teaching from the Sfas Emes, quoting his grandfather, Dushi Arim, on the Pasuk, left the Chor, to ask the Ramban, you compare Parshas Noach to Parshas Lech Lecha, we understand why Noach was chosen. Each tzaddik, tamim hayav yoratzav, and when it comes to Avram, we don't know anything about Avram. And all of a sudden Hashem appears to Avram and says, Lech Lecha, why was Avram chosen? Why was he chosen to go to Eretz Yisrael? Nobody else. So it says to the Jerim, quoting the Zohar, that every moment in every generation, we are constantly getting the call of Lech Lecha. A person gets the call of Lech Lecha at all times. Till today, there's a call of Lech Lecha. And the difference between Avram and everyone else in his generation was not that he was chosen and they weren't. It's that he chose to heed the call of Lech Lecha. That he stopped his plan, he stopped what he was doing, Hashem calls out Lech Lecha, and with all his great plans, whatever he was going to do and continue doing, he said, I have to get up, stop what I'm doing, and do for God. Tells him to go to himself and go to himself. And he was the only one. The only one was willing to stop and respond to the call of Lech Lecha. That's the first truth. The first words to the first Jew was Lech Lecha. And he became the chosen one because he responded to Lech Lecha. My friends, throughout our lives, maybe even once a day, maybe even more than that, there's a pull out from Shamayim of Lech Lecha. Both figuratively and literally. The first test of Avraham and the last test of Avraham in the Torah's description, Lech Lecha and the last one, Lech Lecha, Eretz Asher Ereka. Also, he's told to go to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, also the language of Lech Lecha. This is part of the definition of being a Jew. Is even though I have a plan, I'm going, I'm doing it, I have to stop. And then there's a call. It could be a call from God, it could be a call from another Jew. Who needs help? Who needs a job? It goes deeper. Rabbi David Miller, Shlito's, who all met this year, currently Mashiach Wanyu, will be back here running for Sol next year. So he was in 1967, and you can listen to this, you can listen to the Shmuz on Wanyu Torah. 1967, he was in YU class. He was 20 years old. And he was following the news, obviously, as every Jewish person was, following the news about Nasser's call to destroy the state of Israel once and for all. And his move of removing the UN peacekeepers from the Suez Canal, and all the threats from Nasser, from Syria. And everyone was frightened. Everyone was frightened at the time that this was going to be the end of the Jewish state. Only 19 years old. And they thought this was going to be it. And again, anyone who was here at the time will tell you that everyone was frightened. They didn't think they had a chance. They were preparing graves in Tel Aviv, in Netanya, all over the country, preparing thousands and thousands of graves, of places to bury in mass graves. Har Erechon in Tel Aviv, which is a large part of Tel Aviv, was being prepared to be a mass grave. So he was amongst a group of Jews that decided to go to America. And everyone was being called up in Israel, everyone was being called to be living. And they needed volunteers to man other parts of the country, right? The country can't come to a standstill. Still need people to milk the cows and to teach kids and to deliver mail. The mundane things need to be done. So there's a call for volunteers. There was a call of Bethlehem. And Rabbi Miller got up. And he went there to Israel, left. He very dramatically tells the story about how he told his parents he had a brother at the time in Karyami. I think Rabbi Willie was learning Karyami at the time. Is that correct? Rabbi Willie Swab was learning Karyami at the time. Many of the guys who were learning yeshivas were getting on planes to get out. They don't have a story to tell. Those people have to leave. No, it probably wasn't their decision, most of them probably. How was their parents' decision? But they missed out. They missed out. Boy, did they miss out. Imagine if you would have been one of the guys who stayed back. They would not have to go home. All right. So he came here. He responded to the call. And the New York Times actually wrote a piece about this group going to Israel. The group they responded to that. And it was 38 people that went. 38 people got on a plane to go to Israel to help out. 20 of them were from YU and CERN. That was it, 38 people. So he was one of 38. And he came. Make a long story short. He came here, he arrives here actually in the middle of the war. He left on a Sunday, Monday war breaks out, and he finally gets here, there's a lot of delays. Finally gets here, there's no direct flights at those times, he finally gets here, he goes to Kibbutz Yafet, he's helping out, and then he hears, listens to the radio, HaRabbi Me'adeinu, and the unbelievable joy and celebration describes. Immediately, when you hear that, he just everyone is drawn to the Beit Knesset in that kibbutz, which is right next to Yeshiva Camp Yavneh, and it just an instinctual outpouring of Shevach Odeh LaHashem. He said, "Oh, the brother just." And they heard about the amazing victory, and they thought, "Oh, it'll be lost." Now, if you think about it, on so many different levels, the Six-Day War was miraculous. The war itself, leaving aside the fact that we regained Yerushalayim, Yehuda and Shomron, Hebron, and Ramat Golan, all those Sinai, forget about all the conquests of the territories that now follow return, which was not our intention at all, obviously. They were hoping Jordan wouldn't get involved in the war. They were begging Jordan to stay out of it. And then Jordan, for some reason, it's also interesting historical why they actually got into the war. They got in so that gave this excuse to, otherwise they wouldn't be able to get Yerushalayim back at Jordan and Israel. That was not their intention, but just the victory of from danger, from sakana of the fear being totally wiped out, to a 6-day victory, totally destroying the neighboring armies, wiping the air force of Egypt to nothing. That itself is a miracle. And then to recapture the most precious parts of Eretz Yisrael. And then the change that happened to the Jewish people as a result. And maybe you'll hear more about this from Rabbi David, about the whole Kiruv movement really took off after 1967. Eretz Yisrael in our hands, Jerusalem in our hands, is a biblical miracle, just as the Torah described it's going to happen. And it was an interest in Judaism that never was before. And certainly, we're here today studying Yerushalayim because of that. The whole growth of Torah, both in Israel and then spilling over into America. The result, really the result of the 6-day war. So on so many different levels. So you see, the call of Lech Lecha was stop what we're doing. What time of year is this? It was the end of May, June. It was finals going on, people had summer plans, right? Yeah, everyone had good excuses. Why not to come? Danger, good excuse. And, you know, I have a job waiting for me, I have a date somebody seriously, whatever the excuses are, they're good excuses. But a Jew responds when there's a need and a call for help. A Jew responds, stops what he's doing. We had a similar situation many, many, many years before that, and we spoke about this also in the past. And that's the time of Ezra. There was a call from Koresh, go up and build Yerushalayim. Koresh, the most powerful king in the world, calls to the Jewish people who were in the village after 54 years, 52 years, you don't know if they weren't in the Megillah then. Right? 52 years after the destruction of the temple. He says, go up and build it. Go up. Because Shorah would have told me to send the Jews to go up and build the Beis HaLokim. And some Jews respond, as described in the second paragraph of Sefer Ezra. But most, majority of the Jews do not respond. And whoever responded is recorded there. Their name is remembered in history. That family is remembered in history, as described in the second paragraph of Sefer Ezra. Majority of the Jews said, I got things. I'm busy. And for good things, I'm sure. For very, very good things. We just finished building our home. We just finally got our kids in the school that we're hoping to get into. It was an early decision. Can't back out of it. And they had all the good reasons not to go. And they didn't go. Chazal do tell us that had they gone up in mass at that time, it would have been the final Gula, Gemara says. Read those books. They're two books about his life. Sadiq Haya and Sadiq Yisraelam. I'm not sure if the second one isn't translated. The first one isn't translated. We have it here in the yeshiva somewhere. Unbelievable, unbelievable Sadiq. Beloved, most, maybe the most beloved Jew in the last here in Yerushalayim, from all types of Jews in the last 50 years. Legendary, legendary figure. Many, many stories that you can tell about Rabbi Rabin. Tomorrow we'll actually tell some of those stories when we're touring through the area where we live. Machla'ot, Machla'ot section. There was one son waiting for a shir. He used to be a shir in the regular shir in Gemara. And he was about to go into the shir. And someone comes running over to him. And he says, Rebbe, there's a Jew in Hadassah Hospital who feels that his hours are numbered. And he requests that you come to see him. So I'll wait for you to the end of the shir. And when the shir is over, I'll take you over to to the hospital. So Rabbi Levine says, no, let's go right now. So the Rebbe, I have a shir, we'll go right to the shir, it's fine. No. A Jew asks for help, stop what you're doing, and you gotta go. And while they're going on their way to Das Hospital, he tells, I want to tell you a story. There was a Blake Mofia. And he was living in a town in Pressburg. And he was in a situation where there was a wealthy Jew who had a business, a store, and as often happened, a fire broke out, and his entire warehouse and store was totally destroyed. He went overnight from being a wealthy person, one of the wealthiest person, perhaps the most wealthiest person in the town, to being a poor. And people were trying to help him out the fire at night. So the Rav goes over to one of the other wealthy persons in the community, and he said, listen, so it was early morning, he said, I want you to go now, while people's hearts are warm, and go and make a collection for this Jew, so we can get it back on his feet. And this Jew responded, Rebbe, I haven't daven yet, let me daven, and then I'll go into it. So the Rebbe said, now I finally understood something that's been bothering me for many years. The Torah says, Vayaveh Ishimo, by Yaakov, it says that he fought with an Ish. And Rashi says, the Medrash says that it's Samo Shalisa. And then the story of Yosef, when he fought, it says, Vayitzayu Ish. He didn't come up with that. Rashi says, who's that Ish? It's Gavriel. So yes, why when it says Vayaveh Ishimo, it's Samo Shalisa? It's this bad angel. And then, but you say, Ish, it's Gabriel. It says, Ish, how does Rashi know? One is Gabriel, one is Sarah Lisa, or how does the Medrash know? So, but now you understand. He said, when Yaakov was fighting with the angel, and he says, Barthing, he says, bless me. And what does the angel say? The angel says to know, Shafing, Allah, Shafing. Send me away, because now it's already the morning. Let me go. And the Medrash says, because he had to go sing Shira. He had to go sing before Kodesh Baruch. That's the meaning of Esau. So Esau was saying, listen, I can't help you now because I gotta go down. I gotta go pray Hashem. I gotta go down and praise him. Shalfen Yikel Hashem. He says, but the Ish, Gabriel, when you say Ish, you also probably have to sing Shira, this is Shabbat Sasha. But he took the time to help Yosef find his way. That's the midah of Yisrael. That's the midah of what's right. It's the midah of Yisrael. Said the Rabbi Levin, he says, if a Jew is calling for help, a Jew responds, is to stop what you're doing, even though it's very important, and you have things to do, places, people to see, places to go, you stop what you're doing, and you help. And you help right away. The media visa is to say, no, I gotta take care, I gotta die, and I gotta even walk through things. Shira Lashem, great. But the meat of the Jew, like Avraham and Yaakov, the meat of the Jew is to stop and respond. And that's what Ari did. And he got there, he got to the hospital. And when he got to the hospital, the Jew saw him. Broke out of tears. He said, I wanted to say the Jew together with you. He said, the Jew together with you. And 20 minutes later, the Shema left. He got there. Friends, this, the call to stop what you're doing and to respond, and willing to alter your plans, is not only in plans, like physical plans, or it's not only, but certainly included, the call of Lechefa to come to Eretz Yisrael. To live here. Honestly, I can never understand. I cannot possibly understand. This is a side note. I can't understand how anybody can spend a year in Israel, study for a year in Israel, and not have a burning desire to come live here. For life, I can't understand it. I can understand people who never had that opportunity, but I can't understand a person who doesn't have a burning desire to live in Israel right now. Anyone. You may have to right now, maybe have to push off, but if you don't want to live here, push off with thanks but no thanks. You're going to dance with flags, bouncing after the cocktail, and saying this is the greatest gift, and you're going to say all the bracha, and whatever you're going to do, and you're going to say thanks, but I got my plans. So I'm not even talking about that. It's on the side note. But there's also something a little bit deeper, and there's something I know there's a lot more to talk about. And that is that it also applies to a certain mindset, a certain midah, that this is the way I am. This is the way I am. I'm whatever it is. It could be like, for example, I'm a night owl. Mornings are not for me. But if the call in the morning is lechefa, the call in the morning is kum la'olos ha'or. I stop myself, I stop my routine or the way I am, and I get up to the call of Kumla Bona Sabora. Or this is the way I am, this is who I am. So, okay, very nice. To go back to that, after you respond to this call of the need to change a certain need within us. That's what a true definition of a Jew is. I'm willing to make a change because that's what's needed. That's what God wants of me. That's what a Jew, a friend, needs of me. Mr. Hashem, you'll all get married. You'll get married to the most wonderful woman in the world. But I promise you that there are things in yourself that you will have to make a change to make space for them. You'll have to. It's by definition, that's what marriage is. And it pays to get used to it now, and to the pain of having to get used to it later. But in every marriage, there's a need for every, both husband and wife, to say, okay, I know this is who I am. I know, something silly like, I never used to put the cap back on the toothpaste, but this is something that's important to him. So I'll do it. Right? I always throw my socks on the floor, but he doesn't like it, so I'll pick them up. We're always constantly getting that call of left thought of stop routine and make space for God, for another Jew. Let's be amongst those that need the call.
Okay. Also, just on the theme of stuff we're doing, downstairs, Joseph is here to do a bone marrow drive. If you're not from the district, please go downstairs. downstairs and have a select few sheets to confirm the issue. Phone